Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show that focuses on people and organizations making a big difference here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and our first guest is the president of the Dallas Black Chamber, Mr. Harrison Blair. How you doing, Harrison?
Oh, man. Chris Arnold, I'm honored to be on Better Living with you. It's a pleasure and a privilege, sir. We're doing well.
Well, you know, I'm so glad to have you on as well. We've been friends for such a long, long time. I had to have you on because, of course, this is Black History Month. Now, as we ease into Black History Month, a couple of days ago, it was dicey around here in North Texas with all the ice. See, people think it's snow from around the other parts of the country. They're not here. They don't know this is 2 and 3 inches worth of ice. I just want to know right off the bat how you survived it, and were there any business activities you had to adjust?
Oh, man, absolutely. One, you know, just the regular operations of the chamber. There's always someone stopping by the office who wants to meet with us. So that jammed up a lot of member meetings and partnership meetings that we would normally have, just to have a winter ice storm come through. And Chris, you hit it on the head. It's the ice.
Yeah.
You know, maybe other places it snows and it's nice and light and fluffy, and then maybe it'll freeze over. But here, it's not just sticking snow. It becomes a sheet of ice. And if you want to slip real good and tear up your tailbone, you walk out on that.
Oh, I tell you, it was dicey for a lot of people. In fact, I was watching all the different TV reports, and all the different meteorologists kept saying, that noise you hear, that's thunder. And guess what? It is thunder sleet going on. I was like, thunder sleet? Lord, have mercy.
Look, global warming is throwing new combinations at us.
Exactly. Well, at least this weekend has been nice, and we should have some really decent weather this week. But, you know, this is still February, and we always tell everybody out there, you know, if you're in North Texas, because of that jet stream, the weather could be dicey all the way to April.
Man, and this year, you might get all four seasons in these first 4 months.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? I mean, you'll get the 70s, you'll get down into the teens, you will get some ice. We might even get some fluffy snow if we're lucky. But at the same time, we still have to do business. And again, I'm glad you're on because this is Black History Month, the month of February. And I know there's a lot of different activities that are going on. And so I just wanted to have you go through your Rolodex or go through your database, as they put it in the 21st century, 21st century's databases. Tell us about some of the activities going on with the chamber.
So, Chris, as you know, in this busy month, not only are we speaking at a number of spaces with some of our corporate partners where we just go in and do talks about the importance of Black history, and we might focus on a specific Dallas topic that's really important, but we also have a bevy of events that we'll be rolling out either with partners or events that we'll be doing that the chamber just thinks are really, really important. The first event that I know we're going to be engaged in, which will be February 23rd, is we're in a partnership event where we're going to host a happy hour with Deep Ellum. And they're celebrating their 150th year. And people may say, well, why is that, you know, consistent with Black History Month? Well, Deep Ellum is really from a time past. It is a community that was named most affectionately really by Dallas's Black residents. And it's historically started as a Black shoestring town that was right by two railroad junctions that met in 1870s. So it is historically a Black town. And Chris, I also have a book that my grandfather, Bill Blair, wrote. And this book is called The Dallas I Know. And he goes through all these different spaces in Dallas where Black Dallas existed. He even says at the top of the book, this is the most comprehensive guide you'll ever see, or picture book you'll see of Black Dallas. And Deep Ellum is definitely covered in here. Places that you may have heard of, that you go to, and then places you may not have heard of, like the Gypsy Tea Room, which is kind of a lesser known space.
That's
and
right.
The Harlem Theater. So we'll be celebrating with Deep Ellum because they have such a rich, deep Black history here in the city of Dallas. And then on the 22nd.
Now, before you move on, let's talk about Deep Ellum for just a second, because for those who don't know, there is a rich Black music history there to the blues. There's some legendary performers from back in the 20th century that helped put Dallas music on the map right there in the heart of Deep Ellum.
Man. So and we talking about folks that you would see and encounter on the streets of Deep Ellum,
yes,
singing tunes, and famous folks like T-Bone Walker.
There you go.
Who sang a hit, and put people through school at Prairie View. There's a famous picture of him in this book, actually, on a 9-hole golf course that was a Black only golf course that is now where Love Field Airport is. But lots of rich history from artists like T-Bone, Lemon, Blind Lemon, Jefferson, a couple of other folks who really, really made Deep Ellum what we know it as today. As
this is what's so wild. You know, I've actually been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, did a radio show out of there. Believe it or not, there is a radio station in there, and I was up there for the NBA All-Star Weekend back in the day, and I actually did my show from there. And I'm walking through that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they had stuff about the blues coming out of Deep Ellum. That's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, let alone blues and jazz and the whole nine yards. So when people gather in Deep Ellum, they go, oh, this is a cool little night spot over here. Oh, this is a great little walk-in venue. Oh, that's a good barbecue joint. There's some history that you may not be aware of, and it's part of Black history and Black History Month.
Man, Alex Moore, Buddy Melba Moore, Rod Calhoun, Doug Fennell, Cedar Walton, Buster Smith. I mean, I can go down this list because these were folks that my grandfather knew.
Yep.
They grew up being very familiar with on that street. So I'm just, you know, very, very excited about that portion of what we're doing.
Now, before you go to another thing, I gotta say this because you have so many things you want to talk about. We have plenty of time here, but we gotta give a shout out to the late great Bill Blair, your grandfather, who was a Negro League baseball player, played back in the days with Satchel Paige and back when Jackie Robinson first went to the major leagues. And before he passed away, I had the pleasure of spending a lot of lunch time with him down off, you know, his favorite cafeteria.
Man.
Over there at Luby's. No, is it Luby's? I'm trying to remember which one it was.
It was Luby's. Yeah, I was 67.
Yeah, that was his office. And I've had him on my radio shows back in the day talking about, you know, the Negro Leagues, but not only that, but Dallas and Black history in Dallas. And so he is a legend, and there's a park named after him as well. Can you talk a little bit about your grandfather? Because he also started one of the Martin Luther King Jr. parades for Martin Luther King weekend.
And, you know, Chris, I just learned some information about him from his book where he talks about his time at Booker T. Washington, where he ran the very first touchdown against the second Black school to be created here in Dallas for high school students. And that was Lincoln High School, which was Negro School number 2. But he ran the very first touchdown against them.
Look out.
And that's one of his records. He was also on 3 different state championship teams that came out of Booker T. Washington. And it's, you know, it's hard to think of it then, but in the early 1930s and 40s, and even some of the 20s, Booker T. Washington was the only colored school for high school students in the city. So naturally, it was segregated. And anytime they played, not only were they the best in their own segregated league here, but they were the best across the state and the city. So they crazy championship teams. Mm. He even talks about in this book how he made friends with some of the Negro League baseball players who ended up going major. Like the gentleman that went to the Cubs and a couple of other players that he was really, really well known.
Ernie Banks, who's also from Dallas.
Brother Ernie Banks, who's also from Dallas. Mm-hmm. And it also talks about A.W. Brashear, who really helped kick off major sports here in Dallas in a major way and put Dallas on the map with all his championship wins. And, you know, they called him one of Brashear's boys. because Bill got to play with him. So just a lot of great information and history about him just before he gets to what he does as an activist and as a community leader, where Fantastic. He starts a newspaper primarily to cover Negro League baseball across the country, because there weren't many outlets that did that. But it quickly became a community paper that you could find in any church. You could find it in any black owned restaurant. And then, you know, when my dad really got to the paper in the late 80s and 90s, you know, people like Rufus Shaw, who
yes.
had people glued to the paper every week, mm-hmm. who wanted to know what the conscious black thought coming out of Dallas was all about. You know, that's really how the paper got where it was. But you also touched on this, Chris, and that's that my grandfather had the pleasure and distinction of starting the very first MLK parade here in Dallas mm-hmm. in 1986, which started with two trucks, a man and a bullhorn, and now is one of the premier King celebrations, not just in Dallas, but across the nation. And, you know, the pleasure of watching my dad and my grandfather grow that parade really comes from us cutting up sandwiches and making sure each band student had a sandwich, or each church member mm-hmm. Had a sandwich, or each Mason had something from participating in the parade. And the reason the parade really grew to be so large is because a lot of these folks in these community organizations couldn't afford insurance to march in a parade, but they wanted to be seen too, and they wanted to celebrate leaders like Dr. King. They didn't always have the ability to do so because it's not necessarily always cost effective. But my dad, my grandfather really stipulated that you didn't have to always pay the insurance. And that may not be the best business practice, right. especially
But you
early,
wanted people
you know,
to be a part of it. Yeah, you wanted to allow people to be a part of the celebration.
And because they did that, people would come to see their grandmother, their grandfather, yeah. their uncles, their nieces and nephews, their kids. And so everybody's there at this big city family affair. And it's not only an affair just for black people who are here in the city who want to celebrate, but civil rights is such a large banner because of how it's informed so many other movements that people from across the city want to come and celebrate
yes.
leaders like Dr. King and the legacy of civil rights. And Bill Blair understood that. And so, you know, my dad's corollary, Jordan Blair's corollary to that is King Day is a day on, not a day off. We
exactly.
got to go celebrate. It takes work to do that.
It so takes work.
Part of that legacy.
Let me tell you, I'm honored to be a part of those parades. I was able to be in over 20 of them. And in fact,
the Grand Marshal.
Yeah, Grand Marshal with Skip Murphy Company. I want to say it was in 2011 or 2012, but we had an opportunity to do that as well. And from like the 80s all the way through the 2000s, the parade has been fantastic, whether the weather was great, like, you know, sunny skies like this weekend, or whether it was cold and icy, the parade still came through and everybody did their best. And like I said, all the floats and all the bands and all the different people participating, and it would always end up at Fair Park. Again, that was just part of Bill Blair's legacy. But we mentioned Booker T. Washington High School, which is now the Arts Magnet, and it is also the home of the Grammy Awards for our girl Erykah Badu and Norah Jones. So the legacy is there all over Dallas.
Oh, man. And Chris, to that point, that's why it's such a blessing to be here at this Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
It itself is such a historic institution as the first Black Chamber of its kind in the nation. Something that I took as an impetus to build an event for the chamber for my family is an event called Ignite the Lights. Ignite the Lights is not a parade, which is kind of a go-to for my family, but Ignite the Lights is an opportunity for us to talk about our legacy as a chamber in the civil rights movement, and not only as active participants, but to also reframe that civil rights wasn't about just treating people well and treating them with dignity. It was also heavily involved in the economics of our society. And that's where the chamber sees our work and our legacy being continued and us moving that legacy forward. And for us, Ignite the Lights is a celebration where we bring these little water lanterns and people can draw messages of love with a marker with their family on these lanterns. Families usually bring their kids out and they take time to think about somebody in their community who has really impacted them.
Mm-hmm.
And they might dedicate a lantern to them. The culmination of this event is that we have usually an MLK speaker who has done the speech for Mrs. King, who said he sounds the most like my Martin, which means we just got to pay him some extra.
Understood.
This King speaker comes out and he blows us away. And then after he's done talking and sharing some excerpts from Dr. King, we have people from the audience come up and tell us who they dedicated their lantern to and why, because we believe that it should be a community celebration. And this is in that ethos of my dad's, you know, saying that, you know, it's a day on, not a day off to celebrate our history and to celebrate those things. And to me, it's so important now that we do this kind of work, because it's practically illegal to celebrate or talk about Black history. So a lot of people don't have access to some of these historical figures mm-hmm. and what they've really done. And they leave so many gaps in how we got to where we are today as a society. And I think it's so important that we take this moment during this month to really share with family members, to share with our sons and daughters, our nieces and nephews, and even our parents, who's important to us, the history that's really impacting us, and any information really about Black history and its impact on this economy, and what it means moving forward. Because without it, we're doomed to repeat the past if we don't know.
Exactly. So some of the other events that are going on that the chamber is a part of, we're talking again with Harrison Blair. He's the president of the Dallas Black Chamber.
So one of the other events, Chris, that we have that's a monthly event is our Power Breakfast. Our Power Breakfast is an early morning networker that starts at 7 a.m. and goes to 9 a.m. And we do that because there are a lot of people who really want to get out and do this networking thing. They don't have time in the afternoon or the evening or lunch, but they've got some extra morning time in their early birds.
There you go.
So we want to give these people an opportunity to come out and network. But it's not only for you to come and get coffee and have some conversations. We want you to get up on the stage and do a 30-second introduction, because it's like a mini Toastmasters. Mm-hmm. How can you sell your business or yourself if you don't have your 30-second pitch together? And people are surprised that 30 seconds can be that impactful, because most times people might take 3 to 5 minutes if you tell them they have a few seconds to just share about themselves. So we help them shape those answers. And then after the program, coffee and breakfast is usually on us. And we typically do this at Soiree Coffee Bar, which is just across the way from Trinity Groves. It's one of the best coffee spots in Dallas.
Okay.
No matter who you are, where you're from, if you haven't been there, do yourself a favor. Go get you a cool coffee or maybe a nice drink, and then come meet somebody new.
You know, I think people underrate networking. I think there's a lot of people who have ambitions to start a small business or grow something that they're trying to get done, and they say, I got to network, or I'm not sure if I should network. Can you explain how important it is for people to reach out to others who may be able to help them in some other way, and you can help them as well? I mean, people just underestimate the term networking and how the role of the Dallas Black Chamber plays in some of these networking events.
Oh, man, Chris, one of the most important factors in business, if you want to be successful, is who you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you know the right procurement person, you may get access to that contract. Doesn't mean they're going to give it to you, but if you even know to apply, that's already a token in the game. Not to mention the relationships with the people who can actually bid the work out that you need to do, or the experts and professionals who can get any kind of contract or vendor relationship that you might need. This entire business industry, this entire economy is based on relationships and a network of trust. And business really moves at the speed of trust. But the only way you can build trust is you got to meet folks. You know, this is not a Zoom call. This is not a phone call.
Right.
This is not an email. This is a shaking hands in person.
Exactly.
Because before you get that big contract, you're usually out at these events, you know, meeting folks, developing business relationships and opportunities. And then, you know, the contract may actually come up over lunch. And then you have a relationship after you've built that, that networking time in to actually get to meet folks and really cultivate those relationships. It makes the world go round.
And,
so
you know,
that's a huge part of our chamber.
It really is. And what a lot of people may not understand is the person that you meet may not do a business deal with you personally. But guess what? There's somebody that they know that they say, you know what? Harrison Blair's got something going on. I think you two ought to meet. And that's how networking happens. It's like someone refers somebody else. Like you said, it's who's who. And it's not just it's who you are. It's who you know. It's not just what you do. There's a lot of people who what you do. It's about who you know, and then they may even refer you.
So and those kind of networks and relationships are how people make some of their biggest deals.
Mm-hmm.
Because people doing a big business deal with you or giving you a lot of access to their capital and relationships is all about trust. And if you build that trust, then people are really going to write those checks to you. They'll make those opportunities available to you. But you have to meet people first. You can't build any kind of trust until you at least meet folks.
Exactly. You just can't say, let me send out an email or let me. You know, there's something to be said for social networking on social media, but that may be just the first step. Can you talk about a little bit of, because you guys have such an outstanding website, and give the website address too, because it is an absolute must if you're starting business here in Dallas, whether you're coming in from somewhere else or if you're grown, you've grown up here and you're saying, I need to establish myself. Could you talk about how the social media or online trafficking, as far as networking is concerned, can help aid you as well, even though that's just a small part, it's not the only part.
Oh, man, you really have to, you got to put yourself out there, especially in this new e-commerce environment that we find ourselves in. You know, Chris, one of the big stats for us is that just in the South Dallas Fair Park community in 2019, there were about 68% of the businesses here didn't have access to internet, meaning that many of them didn't even have a website. And you can just imagine how much traffic you're missing if you're only focused on foot traffic that's coming your way. Mm-hmm. Or if you're hoping that everybody who's out on the roads is going to pass by your billboard. Well, what happened in 2020 when you couldn't leave home or you couldn't get out? The superhighway of opportunity and connectivity was already the internet, but that just doubled down because now operations had to change.
Yep.
The way people do business had to change. Virtually everything we do is now digital. You can even own digital land. I don't know if you should do it.
But I know what you mean. It might be a Bitcoin. You never know.
Yeah. So, you know, just the way we communicate across spectrums and in life is now very digital. And if you're not on that digital highway and learning what those relationships are like and where you connect in and learning this new market, then you can quickly get left behind.
Yeah.
I know it's cool and kind of counterculture to say, I don't have a Facebook or I don't have an Instagram or TikTok. But those are things that if you're a business, you should really consider. Most of the messages we get for service, a new membership, actually come from Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram. Mm-hmm. I would never think, you know, maybe 10 years ago that somebody would send a professional business deal or a resume or any kind of information through a social media platform. But that is a big way to connect. You know, LinkedIn will send you 20 different people trying to hire you or recruit you if that's, you know, if you got the signal on. And imagine how hard it may be to think you can walk into a company and apply for a job. So everything that you might do in a major way that will impact your life, especially financially, is probably going to be online. You don't even have to reach in your wallet to pay for things anymore.
Exactly.
You just wave your phone. So you want to be a part of that digital apparatus in that space so that you can also put your business out there. And not only to market yourself, but also to tell your story. Because I think people miss an opportunity. There are some people whose hands I'll never shake. But they will comment on my video and tell me, hey, you really told me about the chamber services. You really explained them. The website goes into it, but you really broke down what you're going to do for my business. And just to make sure I answer this also, Chris, the website for the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce is dbcc.org, or you can type the longhand, which is dallasblackchamber.org.
Yeah, you can Google it up, just Dallas Black Chamber and .org, and you'll find out all the information. And again, It's a easy site to just, you know, lose yourself and learn things. And it's so well organized. I've given you a lot of props for that because it's almost like your calling card. Nowadays, you got to have that footprint online. It's kind of like I say, well, people are online buying stuff on Amazon. So they're comfortable, you know, sitting there for a half hour, quote unquote, shopping. Well, the Dallas Black Chamber's website is a way you can expand your business horizons and see your opportunities and what might be a way for you to connect with, you know, major corporations, or let alone the people you need for volunteers or people you need to work in your industry. And that being said, can you talk about in today's gig economy how the small businesses are fitting in with some of these major corporations? Because I know you're on top of all of these things.
Well, let me start by saying social media and any kind of influencer. I know influencer sounds like a soft kind of opportunity. People oftentimes don't understand what an influencer is,
right,
or what they do. But 90% of large corporations use influencers to get their messages out.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been following some of these comedians like, you know, Tony Baker or on stage, you might see them in a Time Warner cable commercial.
Sure.
Because they are communicating directly with folks. So that's just one place where, you know, people are looking to see how small vendors and businesses are really making a push. And we've added an influencer to our board because it's so effective for how we can market. And it's also effective for how we also understand this new digital space. But large corporations are always looking for vendors to work with. And they're always specifically looking to meet their MWB egos, which are, you know, goals that help them get in companies that are considered minority by ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, just one example, Parkland is one of our major partners here at the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce. And one of the perks that is offered as, you know, as you becoming a new member and joining the chamber is there is a portal where when you join, it takes you directly to Parkland and it asks you a number of questions about what your interests are as a member. They want to know what you do, and they want to know if they can get you into their system as a certified MWBE vendor, meaning that when they start looking at contracts that they're going to bid out, they're just going to send them out. You have to go get the contract. But they make a lot of these opportunities available just for new people who are coming into the chamber. Mm-hmm. And the same is true for folks who may be looking for a job. We do a job seeker spotlight. Corporations post jobs all day. Right now, the PGA, Professional Golf Association of North America, is stationed in Frisco.
That's right.
And they just moved out. Yeah, they got a list of jobs that they're trying to fill. Some are short term, some are long term, some are salaried and benefited, some are part time. But they're always looking for qualified individuals, and they start with their partners, like the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce. So it is a super highway to be connected, not only to other members, but some of those other members are corporations like AT&T, Texas Instruments, Parkland. You know, name any major system that is a Fortune 100 or 500 here. We are either connected with them or we are in a network that they also belong to.
What it is it puts everybody in a position of getting your foot in the door. And then guess what? Those opportunities could be right in your backyard and you didn't even know it. Like you mentioned the PGA, a lot of people don't even think, well, wait a minute, I didn't know they were in Frisco. Well, now you know. If you go to the Dallas Black Chamber website, you might find out a few things. Again, I think it's very good for anybody who's, quote unquote, in the gig economy, either wants to do more and not be in the gig economy, or even if you say, okay, this is where I want to stay, but I want to, you know, maximize my different things that I do, my circle of influences, or whatever it is you do to get your small business started. I think you just got to use everything that's available to you. And being online is one of those things, those platforms, one of those things that can be an asset for you.
Man, and we would love to give more information. And if you go to the website and there's something that you can't find, you'd like to know more, they can also email any person who's interested can also email me at hblair@dbcc.org. And if I'm taking too long to get back to you, then hit our info box at info@dbcc.org. And we love to help you. It'd be our pleasure. That's why we get out of bed.
I was going to say something, and I'm just going to pull the curtain back. Everywhere I'm at, it seems like you're there too. All these different speaking engagements I do, or fundraising events, or, you know, events that are, you know, socially relevant, you're there. And I'm like, when does Harrison Blair sleep? And I know you've got a staff and it's gotten larger and larger and it's very successful, but you are everywhere. Do you have Jerry Jones helicopter take you places?
Man, I wish. Look, and Jerry, if you're listening to this, we've already fueled it up and put it back on the helipad. We got it back in time. Chris, I wish. But, you know, a big focus of mine as the CEO is to get out and meet folks.
Right.
And it's to talk about the future. I'm looking at least 5 to 8 years out to see what we might do, who we might connect with. And if the, you know, if the terrain changes on the ground, then I'm communicating that to my board leadership to make sure we're all on the same page. But they pay me to go out and figure out, you know, what are the best answers, not to walk in with them. So mm-hmm. that means I got to be in the room where Chris Arnold is so that we can be connected to the right people, because we got to have our network too. So that's really a big focus. And I know I'm in the right place when I get there, Chris, because I'll usually see you, like, you know, whether
we get around
the Mavericks game last night where we were watching, you know, the Mavs beat down the Pelicans real good. So I know I'm in the right place.
You know what? This is what's also wild and informative. We're talking about networking. We're talking about getting ahead. We're talking about growing the economy, because that's what this is all about. No one wants to be in an economy where people don't have employment opportunities or a chance to work or lift themselves up by their own bootstraps, so to speak. And I think, you know, here in Dallas, that's one of the reasons so many people are moving here from all over the country, whether it's New York, Florida, California, Michigan. Can you talk about the words you receive or some of the emails you get from these different corporate types or corporations setting foot here in North Texas and the role you guys play in putting people together?
Man, a lot of what we are focused on here, especially when corporations move to town, is they want to know, where everything is.
Yes.
Not just for the head of the organization, but also for the executive staff and the teams they're going to hire. So they may ask us about, you know, the different educational systems here. They want to know what school they can put their students in or what opportunities exist. But the other thing that, you know, a lot of people don't always think about is they want to know culturally, where can I take my son to do, you know, maybe African drum? Where can I take my daughter to do African first ballet?
Where can she get her hair braided?
Where can she get a hair braid? Where can I go get a fly fade?
Right.
You know, so
keep it real.
There are a lot of other services that we also provide to all executives, because these are not just services that Black leaders are looking for. These are services that people who may have a mixed family are looking for. They may have adopted a kid and they're looking for services to keep them truly connected, which we worked with a number of executives who are doing that kind of work. And they want to make sure they're doing something healthy, not only for them, but for the family that they are also supporting. And not to mention, people want to also get a sense of where they can go get something good to eat. Where are those places I have to stop by?
Right.
I've heard of this Rudy's Chicken, but I don't know where to go. Mm-hmm. I don't have a guide. I'm from Chicago. I eat Harold's.
Right.
So where might I go? Or, you know, I want some Garrett's popcorn, but maybe popcorn is not the thing here in Dallas. Where can you take me and showcase some things? And, you know, not only that, Chris, people want to know they can go get some entertainment. Mm-hmm. So whether that's Bishop Arts Theater, whether that is Black Academy of Arts and Letters,
Curtis
Black,
King,
Dallas Black Dance, Dallas Theater Center, Dallas Broadway Summer Musicals. People want to know, what are you connected to? And as a business owner and as an executive, or this is a corporation, what kind of resources and discounts might we get because we are members of the chamber? So, though, and I've just named off a couple of those partners. Or if you want to go see a heck of a Mavericks game, you want to see Luka put some magic up on the board, connect people to those. But, you know, even more, just talking about data and information. Where should you move your business? What is the census data saying? And what kind of demographics do you need in a specific area to decide if you're going to move your business here? Because a lot of the deals that people focus on are when Amazon is coming to town. But economic catalysts that are also really important is if you got a firm that's got 50 to 100 employees and they're looking to grow and add another 25 positions, that's really important, because when you start breaking down the demographics, yeah, we got a lot of Fortune 100s here and a lot of Fortune 500s that are considering moving here. But most of the jobs that are provided in this city come from small businesses, and people really don't think about the workforce development needs of
exactly.
a small firm. So we do a lot of work with small companies. In fact, we're hosting a company out of New Jersey who wants to move here with his staff of 20, and he's looking to grow and he wants to be shown around town. So we're going to give him a tour. We're going to talk about some resources that exist for him. We're going to take him to City Hall and introduce him to some folks.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to spend time really making sure he is connected. We've got staff that does that, but also sometimes we like to put an executive touch on it. I like to show up, shake hands, and tell him about some of the Dallas history the way I was raised and I might know it.
Mm-hmm.
And that adds another kind of touch to it. Puts the Dallas country twang on it so they know they're home. those are kind of some of the ways that we really serve our corporate partners. And that's just on one end. We hadn't even gotten to the advocacy piece yet, but I'll stand by.
You know what? That's why we'll have to have you back on real soon so we can follow up. Harrison Blair, thank you for joining us again on Better Living.
It's my pleasure and honor, Chris Arnold. Anytime you call, we'll be there.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And joining us right now is Joshua Beltran. He is in the marketing department of Paws in the City, where guess what? If you've got a friend and or you don't have a friend and you need one, one of our four-legged furry friends, Paws in the City is all about ending the overpopulation, abuse, neglect of dogs and cats in Dallas-Fort Worth. Trying to make sure that every adoptable dog and cat finds a loving home. Joshua, how are you doing this morning?
Wonderful. Trying to stay warm.
I hear you. In fact, let's just go back a few days. Now, this is the weekend, but earlier last week, it was dicey for a lot of people. How did you make it through all the ice? Did you stay at home and did you stay safe and sound?
I did. The tricky part is obviously walking the pups. That can be precarious, to say the least.
Okay, so let's go into that because we have a little time here, and a lot of people can identify with your situation. How many pups did you have to walk, and how were you able to get that done? Because sometimes people forget you may have shoes on, but the dogs don't.
Yeah, exactly. I just have a one, in my free time when I have it, I'm a golfer. So a little pro tip, golf shoes work really great on the ice.
The spikes.
Those spikes.
Very nice. So what's your dog's name?
Shelby.
What kind of pup?
She's a terrier mix. She's got a little bit of Yorkie in her, a little bit of Schnauzer in her. But she's kind of a little, as would be called, a lap dog, about 8.5-9 pounds. She's around 10 and a half years old right now. And yeah, she's my little pup.
So tell us how you got involved with Paws in the City and how does that incorporate with the time that you spend with Shelby? Is Shelby a part of the whole thing or is she jealous?
Yeah, I do take her to events on occasion.
There we go. That's what I was asking about. Yeah.
Yeah. She is a good spokesperson for sure. I got involved with Paws in the City in 2012. I'm originally from Houston.
Okay.
And I moved to Dallas for work, and I was just going to get dog food as every dog owner does. And Paws in the City was having an event at a Petco, and a gentleman there named Mark Verma was, you know, kind of being friendly as he always was. And we got to talking, and having been new to the city, I had been in Dallas maybe a week. And I said, yeah, probably not a bad idea to volunteer with an animal organization and, you know, get to meet some fun new people and do something that was close to my heart. So, that's really how I got engaged. You know, I've been involved ever since then. I took a little bit of a hiatus. I had to move to Portland for work and then reengaged in 2020. But yeah, that's how I got started during an event.
So tell everybody what Paws in the City is actually all about, because, you know, there's lots of different agencies that do different things with animals and dogs and cats in particular. But Paws in the City is a little bit unique. Can you explain exactly what it's all about and how long it's been here?
Sure. And as I think is with any kind of nonprofit or animal rescue specifically, you kind of change your focus and mission as you, you know, adopt new volunteers mm-hmm. and kind of figure out where your strong suits are. So in 2005, when we were founded, we were kind of more generic in what we were, you know, who we were helping and what constituted as a rescue for us, primarily obviously focused in Dallas and dogs and animals. But then shortly thereafter, Katrina hit. And mm-hmm. then the mission almost changed immediately within months. So we went to Katrina, we went to New Orleans and tried to help and rescue and rehome all the lost or abandoned dogs as a result of the hurricane. More recently, our focus has been, as you stated earlier, there's a plethora of animal rescues in the Dallas area. Our big focus right now is on dogs that might be overlooked because they have, you know, medical conditions that might be deemed critical or behavioral issues. You know, we don't really want to turn down a dog just because it's been reported, for example, as a bite incident. Mm-hmm. A lot of times what we find is, you know, people will say a dog, you know, tried to bite me. Dogs don't really try to bite. They know how to bite. They're pros at biting, so they don't really make a mistake there. So a lot of times it can be a description of an animal being aggressive that's not really aggressive, maybe is just, you know, a bit skittish, shy, or needs some behavioral training. So
yeah, it might be just reacting to something.
Exactly. So these are the dogs that we really have hyper-focused on as of late, as of the last few years. It's really been on the dogs that have medical issues and the dogs that have behavioral problems. So this has kind of been our strong suit and where we find that we can give back the most. And really, you know, we have our whole volunteer system is kind of organized around this mission now.
So where is the facility and how do you house the dogs and now cats?
So we don't have a brick and mortar.
Okay.
We are one of the unique things about Paws in the City is we are all volunteer. Mm-hmm. So we really do our best to
keep our own. So you just unite people and pets or animals.
Say that again.
So you just unite the people or and animals who, you know, the animals who may be abused or dogs or cats who need help.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we connect the two, right?
So, yeah.
We really try to keep our operational costs down, which is really the motivation here. We want, when a donation comes in, we want that donation to really impact the dog's life and not be a heavy overhead of, you know, operationally how an organization is run.
Sure.
So, we all have full-time jobs, right? You know, some of us maybe are retired, but the organization tries to run as lean as possible. So our brick and mortar is the fosters, right? So we have a healthy amount of fosters that, you know, some have fostered as many as 30 dogs over the years. And some maybe it's a season in their life where they want to help and they foster for a few years, and that's completely acceptable. We will take all comers. So that's how we operate and get the dogs into a temporary home and get them trained and get them to be, you know, mm-hmm. a more loving dog and out of their stressful situation, wherever that might have been, and then put them into a permanent home.
Okay. So the volunteers help with the process and then people can find out online or however they know, if they're looking for a, you know, a comfort animal or someone that can, or an animal that they can take care of, but they've already been through a training process with your volunteers.
Correct. Yeah. We rarely do we get an animal in and immediately home said animal. There's always a training. Yeah. That's part of the process, right?
Mm-hmm. And you said this has been going on since 2005?
Correct. Yeah. 2005.
And I know, you know, it's like, okay, this seems to be working. Can you talk about some of the numbers and some of the success stories?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's been thousands of dogs at this point.
My goodness.
Obviously have been impacted by the pandemic as anyone was. We actually saw an influx in the beginning. And then obviously there were the fallout of it as you know, people began to get back to kind of their normal lives.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you can go to the website and see our current dogs. We try to rotate somewhere around 15 to 20 dogs at any given time. I know you've mentioned cats a few times. In the original mission statement. We were definitely adopting and rescuing cats. We've since then have not done so much on the cats. We've mm-hmm. kind of been more heavily focused, like I said, on the behavioral and more medical cases for the dogs. That's mm-hmm. that's kind of been our focus.
Can you talk about how during the pandemic, this is what I found out from not only myself and my family, but talking to a lot of different people and experts in different rescue situations, animals helped a lot of people endure the pandemic, working from home or just, you know, kids having to learn virtually. There was a pet in the household, usually a dog, that helped them get through it all. Can you talk about some of those situations? Because you kind of mentioned it and how, you know, when the things started getting back to normal, you know, you didn't have as much of an urgency. But can you talk about how these dogs were actually very, very valuable to a lot of people?
Yeah, yeah. Our fosters really stepped up during this time. And, you know, I mean, it's anytime you're in a stressful situation, and the pandemic certainly was that, an animal is, you know, nothing but love, right?
Yeah.
They're not looking at it the way we humans are. So, yeah, I mean, we really found it was an interesting time that, you know, our numbers went up right at the pandemic. People had more time and they were looking to, you know, kind of reevaluate what their priorities were. And that was certainly appreciated. We've since then, our numbers haven't been as strong as then, but that's kind of normal as occurrences like that come up. But yeah, it was pleasing to see what humans were willing to do during that time. And obviously, you know, having a comfort animal is great.
You know, I know there's been unusual situations where you heard about a particular dog that you know, the family couldn't take care of anymore. You mentioned, you know, if there was a bite situation. Can you talk about some of those unusual situations where someone was giving a family or a kid a dog or a puppy over the holidays and the puppy became too much for the family to take care of? In other words, the family thought, oh, this is a nice pet, but then all of a sudden it was like, well, wait a minute, the kid can't handle the pet, or we can't handle the pet, or we have to move. Can you talk about some of those situations? Because what I had heard was this was the time of the year. In other words, after the holidays, it's like, uh-oh, quote-unquote, we bit off too much more than we can chew. We can't really sustain the pet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, these we really don't shy away from those things.
Yeah.
These things happen. You know, I think if you kind of ignore those types of conversations, or, you know, maybe you're ashamed about it, then the dog ends up into a system that just gets forgotten, right? Ends up mm-hmm. into a shelter and kind of has a bad rap that it shouldn't have gotten. So we have a guest dog program. We encourage, you know, having those types of conversations. And, you know, we obviously, it's not an overnight thing, right? I mean, if someone's dealing with a situation, it's not you just drop this dog off and then now, you know, it's no longer your problem. We want to help find that dog a home and want to help, you know, get the animal into a positive environment. But it takes both, right? It takes commitment on both ends. And I think it's the right way to approach it, right? Mm-hmm. Don't just, you know, I'm dealing with a situation now, I'm just going to go drop this dog off at the shelter. That's really not the responsible way to approach the situation.
Can you talk about the process of when you do, after, you know, you guys work with a pet, find the family or the individual and the meeting process? Because I know you just don't say, well, here's the Cocker Spaniel.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes people can get, and I love that question. Sometimes people can get turned off by the process. They'll think, you know, I go to a shopping center and I can go grab a dog out of a box and it took me an hour to do that. Well, there wasn't really a vetting process to find out if this dog was really in the right environment. Maybe that dog's a very active dog and you're a retiree and you don't want an active dog. You want someone to sit around and watch, you know, Netflix all day.
Yeah.
So you really have to pair them correctly.
And, exactly.
And the time that we take to do that is, you know, it's more significant than what you might be used to, at, you know, looking at a dog in a shop or something of that occasion. But it's intentional, right? We want to make sure we know what the dog's personality is because we were part of that behavioral process, right? We, mm-hmm. we don't rescue a dog and then immediately put them into a home. We send them through training. We make sure we understand all the particularities, the medical things around the dog. And then we make sure we understand the personality, and all dogs have different personalities. And then we state all that in the bio of the animal, right? And we make sure that when someone submits an application, they're fully aware of these things. Because some dogs really are, you know, more comfortable just, you know, sitting around all day.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're an active person and you're, you know, I want this dog to go jogging with me. Well, maybe this dog doesn't want to go jogging. Maybe they want to sit around and watch Jeopardy all day. That's okay.
Yeah.
And vice versa, right?
Yeah, it's just matching them up.
Exactly.
Can you talk a little bit about how, you know, you've become like, I guess, how do I put this? I don't want to call it a society or organization, but it's like with Paws in the City, everybody's kind of connected. It's like you get together and you do different functions. So it's almost like an extended family, because it's not like you put together the pets with the people and then everybody disappears. It's like a lot of times you guys get together for functions. Can you talk about that, the relationships you guys have? And then we'll get into some of the events you've had in the past and what you got coming up.
Sure. Yeah, it really is a self-operating organization. It's almost crowdsourcing to an extent, right? And to that point, you know, the length of what a volunteer might want to give in terms of their time is really, I mean, it can vary. We have volunteers that honestly only help us through certain events that might only be annually. And that's completely, you know, we love it, right? Because they specialize in that. They're good at that. They may be, for example, speaking of events coming up, we have a big event coming up and it's more of a, you know, I would say a fancier event. And if you're more of a socialite, it would lean more in that direction. I'm not. So volunteers that only do that once a year are probably not the same volunteers that go to the, you know, monthly or weekly adoption events, you know, at, you know, 11 a.m. In the morning on a Saturday, right? Mm-hmm, they're probably more nighttime people and dress up. So that's okay. But we have all comers, and, you know, the organization or the community, you know, it's wide in its types of people and the reasons why they volunteer. And it can be super narrow in the commitment. And that's, you know, I think that helps keep the organization going. You know, you don't really have to bite off to use one. We shouldn't use this analogy. Bite off more than you can chew, right? Yeah. that's probably not the right one to use in animal rescue. You can do whatever is comfortable with you. And I promise you, we have some way that we can use that talent or your time.
Well, you mentioned the different kinds of animals and matching them up with the different kind of personalities of the people. And you have a wide variety of events that help raise money for pawsinthecity.org, a great nonprofit that, quote unquote, rescues adoptable pets, especially dogs. And can you talk about some of the events in the past and then what you got coming up later this month?
Sure. Yeah. So we're rebooting. I think everyone's saying this now with the kind of post pandemic.
What it is reboot and pivot. The other word is pivot. Yeah.
our annual Martinis for Mutts. This is held at the Candle Room. It's a nighttime event. This year it's on a Friday. The attire, obviously, you know, if you don't want to wear a tux, that's acceptable. It's not actually a tux attire. It's more business cocktail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually wear a suit. It's you know, if I can still fit into them, or the ones I own. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's more of a black tie event. There's a raffle. There's obviously, you know, music, DJ. It is a club. The Candle Room is a club.
Mm-hmm. Been there several times in the past. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The whole point of the event is to raise money and raise awareness and do something that's a little bit kind of outside of the norm of an adoption event, right? You know, the adoption events, you know, are much more, you know, dealing with a dog and, you know, seeing an animal in person. This is much more of a social event, you know, gathering some of our sponsors together, some of our longtime donors, and then, you know, just honestly, for our volunteers as well, giving them an opportunity to kind of, you know, have a good night out.
Sure.
Right?
Like it's kind of a reward for helping.
Yeah. One of our recent partners that helped us with merchandise, you know, I purchased a table and I said, I want to invite you guys out to come. You know, you've done all this work for us. You sit down, have a drink, and enjoy some of the, you know, the fruits of your labors that you volunteered throughout the year. So it's one of those types of events.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I'm not running it. We have a wonderful volunteer, Sandra, that's running it, and we'll have an MC, and you know, it's a fun event. It's February 24th. If you go to the website, it should be on the top banner.
It is. I was just looking at it. Very, very nice.
Yeah. So there's a general admission there. If you want to, you know, come and mingle and, you know, maybe not necessarily have a table for, you know, a few hours, $45. And then there's tables for sale as well. Maybe you have a group of folks that you want to come and enjoy the festivities for a few hours. We have tables for sale as well. It's a fun event, and we're still gathering kind of all of our raffle items. So as we get closer to the date, we'll have more postings on our social media about, you know, the things that will be up for raffle and more info on the event as it kind of manifests.
And as you mentioned, that's one of the major events, and it's backed following post-pandemic, the pivot and the whole nine yards. But you've also kind of teased the fact that in the past, you guys have stumped something for everybody. In other words, like you said, there's some weekend, daytime, midday, morning. Can you talk about some of the diverse events that you guys do for all the people a part of Paws in the City?
Yeah. So, you know, kind of our staple is an adoption event at a given location. A lot of times we've done it at restaurants. Fishity Grill is a restaurant that we've partnered with. We've often done them at, an animal store, supply store, like a
sure.
Petco,
mm-hmm.
PetSmart, et cetera. Places that we, you know, are, you know, a little more likely to be, you know, at a pet store, you're going to obviously find animal folks. And then just kind of a more low key at restaurants where we might partner with them. And there may be, for example, either a happy hour going on or a mm-hmm. discount on whatever's happening at that specific, you know, venue. We did an event last year towards the tail end of the year at Deep Ellum Brewery. We like to do our events at breweries. When people drink, they like to donate. So
yes,
those
they
are,
do.
Those are good things to combine.
They have
together.
A sip of courage.
Yes. So we do events there where you can, you know, for example, in that particular occasion, you bought a glass and it gave you, you know, a certain amount of tokens, and yeah, you would end up getting beer at a bit of a discount. And we partnered with the venue, and they, you know, donated, you know, a portion of those funds back to us. So it's a win-win. Come drink beer and you donate. I don't know how you can turn that down.
Exactly. And again, Paws in the City has been doing this since 2005. And I always put it like this. There's something about being empathetic, and you feel good about the little things that you do, no matter what it is. And in the world of people who love pets, you guys are like 5-star. And I have to say this again. If you go to the website, you can see all of the fine work that you guys do. Can you want to shout out some of the staff and give them their props? Because, you know, you've been a part of this for a long time. There's other people who've been a part of it a long time, but there's other people who just joined it and just all full force.
Sure. Some of our staff is shy, and I can tell you many times I've tried to put them on social media, and they don't like doing that. They like to work
anonymously. They just like the love from the pets.
Yeah, I'd be remiss to not mention our president, our former president,
yes.
Mark. So one of the things that happened last year is unfortunately he passed away.
This
was a mm-hmm. very close friend of mine. This is the person that I met at Petco when I, you know, started volunteering back in 2012. He passed away, and he was a staple in Dallas. Some people call him the mayor of Deep Ellum, was kind of quote unquote one of his titles.
Nice.
So he was so interconnected with everyone and really just drove so much, you know, awareness to the organization. So we're still definitely putting pieces together from his loss, but Yeah, he's one of the, we'll obviously have a tribute to him at Martinis for Mutts. So we have a place there, right? We're still kind of putting things together for, what we do in that spot. I'll mention one of our volunteers, and I'm just going to say her first name. I'm not going to say her full name.
They will know her. Go ahead.
I call her the Michael Jordan of Animal Rescue. Ah. Her name is Jennifer. She's been doing it for, gosh, I would assume now at least since 2008, maybe sooner, earlier than that. And her numbers are just, I mean, if she's not the Michael Jordan, she's the Bill Russell, right?
Right.
She's got the most, her numbers are insane, and it just, she keeps going. So our efforts, I look at it like our job is to support her. Right. She goes out and rescues the dog. She finds the dog. She is constantly in the animal shelters looking for opportunities and opens up her home constantly to get these dogs in and out of the system. And, our job administratively is just to let's keep her going. You know, you keep doing what you're doing. It's, you're the numbers person. You're keeping our volume up. But there's, another board member, Stacy. Her and I, deal with things on a daily basis. Barbara, I mean, Sandra, as I mentioned earlier, who's running the Martinis for Mutts. So I am very thrilled that she's, again, stepped up to host this. So there's countless volunteers.
Well, there's lots of reasons for Shelby to be jealous. And we're talking about Shelby, your dog. Can you tell us again how you got Shelby? Because tell us again. We talked about your relationship with Shelby, but you never really explained how you and Shelby became friends.
Yeah, she was one of those situations where it wasn't a pause adoption, but it was one of the ones you kind of described earlier where somebody got a Christmas gift and maybe bit off more than they could chew.
Right.
So I took in the dog and could not let go of the dog. So that's how these things go, right? We call them actually, we have a... It has a negative tone to it, but it really is a compliment.
It really is. Yeah.
We call them rescue failures. So.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. And you're there to save the rescue.
Yeah.
Because the rescue failures. Itself failed, but the quote unquote step, the normal process somewhat failed. But guess what? There's a safety net and you are part of that safety net.
Exactly. Yeah. I have this idea to do a social media thing of all of our foster failures, not rescue failures, sorry, all of our foster failures where I'm a foster failure and, because it really is a much more common occasion than you would think. But it's all good, right?
I mean, yeah, that's it has a happy ending.
It has a happy ending.
This is phenomenal. Again, we're so glad to have you on the show, seriously, because people need to know about all the different organizations that affect, people's lives in North Texas, and pawsinthecity.org is one of those exceptional ones. Thanks again so much for joining us, man.
Wonderful,
Joshua Beltran.
Yeah, if you can make it out to Martinis for Mutts, we'd love to have you. Tickets are on sale now. And if you're looking to foster or if you're just looking to, in general, volunteer, you can go to the website or you can email info@pawsinthecity.org. You can email me, joshua@pawsinthecity.org. We'll take your time and or donations.
And we cannot thank our guests enough for joining us. First, Harrison Blair, the president of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce, chamber actively promoting the expansion of business opportunities on behalf of its membership. And of course, this is Black History Month, so it's perfect timing. And then Pause for the City, Joshua Beltran in the marketing department. They are committed to ending the overpopulation, abuse and negligence of dogs in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, making sure that every dog that is adoptable finds a loving home. And again, we can't thank you enough for joining us. Tune in next week as we focus on other organizations doing great things in our community right here on Better Living. So long, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.